Okay, so we are in a series right now, and we're in a God search, all right? We're in a God search. We're seeing what God is doing. Hopefully, our eyes are being opened a little bit more each week. I know mine were. Mine were, and I'll share that with you as we kind of walk through this. But today, for our text, we're going to use the story of Paul in the book of Acts in chapter 17. This was Paul, and as Paul was in Athens, and so we have a little picture up there. That's right. Athens. That's Athens. All right. That's Athens. And so we're going to start in verse 16, and this is Athens right here. And this is, it says that while Paul was waiting in Athens for Silas and Timothy, he was greatly upset when he noticed how full of idols the city was. So he held a discussion in the synagogue and with the Jews and the Gentiles who worshiped God, and also in the public square every day with the people who happened to come by. We're in this series, and we're looking at God is, and today we're going to talk about how God is at work all around us. God is doing stuff. He's at work all around us all the time. And this is one of the first parts of that Experiencing God book is recognizing, that's one of the first points that Eugene Peterson makes, is that God is at work. And oftentimes, we don't notice it because we're just not looking, you know? But God is at work, and God is always doing something. He's always at work. And so he's at work in all kinds of situations, all kinds of people, from family members to neighbors, friends, co-workers, in our jobs, in our community, in our state, in our nation, and in the world. God is very busy, all right? He's very busy. He's working all things out for his glory, you know, as we see in Scripture. And so today, this is what we're going to use. We're going to use Paul's example as he was there in Athens to see God was at work. Now, Paul was not in Athens because he wanted to be there. He was there because he was running, all right? He was running from Berea, right? Because they were wanting to stone him there. So he was taken off, and he was down in Athens, and he was sitting there waiting. He was all by himself. And it says, now Athens, we might look at it and say that's really the cradle of human philosophy. All right? If we think of, people think of Athens, they think of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates, you know, who these guys who have written things that are still being studied in universities today, as far as their wisdom and knowledge. But Athens was also a place that was where they built all kinds of statues. You know, you think of Athens, you think of the Greeks, and you think of Mount Olympus. All right. You think of Mount Olympus with all the Greek gods, with Zeus, Aphrodite, Mercury, you know, and these different Ares and these different gods, you know, that the Greeks believed in. Well, in Athens, because it was a cultural center, really, of the world, it wasn't at one time it was actually the center, but now that Rome was in power, it was no longer the center of the world, but it was still the intellectual center of the world, to where people would go there and just for the wisdom and the knowledge and to learn about new things. So there in Athens, they would build all these temples to all these different types of gods. There were some that said at this time there was close to 30,000 temples there in Athens. All right, 30,000, all right, not 30, but 30,000, all right, to where there was one historian that said at this time when Paul went through there, it says that there was actually, it would be easier to find a god on the streets than a person, because at that time there was only about 10,000 people living in Athens, all right, and so there was 30,000 of these temples or these idols that were there. And so they were idols to all different kinds of things. I mean, I think Eugene Peterson in the message in his writings here, he says that it was like a junkyard just full of idols, just full of idols. And it says, and Paul walked through, and as Paul would walk through, and because he was like, you know, any normal person, they would kind of be in a big city. And so you think, okay, I'm sitting here not doing much. And so he decided, you know, I'm going to go kind of check it out and kind of see what's going on. And so during a couple of hundred years ago, and this was when Paul walked through, it's a couple of hundred years after the glory of the Greeks. And so now it was kind of in the lower decays of Athens as a whole and as a city. So their glory days had been hundreds of years before. But Paul was there, but they still had all of these artifacts up. And up on top of that hill there, which is the Acropolis and the Parthenon. And you can actually go up there and you can see it and view it and just, I mean, it's really fun. It's great works of art, you know. But Paul, as he walked around this place, all he saw was idols. All he saw was idols. He walked around this place. All he saw was idols. There was a guy named Wilbur Smith, and he comments, he says, a man's character and a man's interest, the purpose of a man's life will determine what he sees wherever he goes. Now, some people see works of art when they're walking around Athens. Paul, he saw idols. He saw idols and it bugged him. It bugged him. It bugged him to the point to where he was frustrated about all of these things that people just had. And I mean, it bugged him. And it says that he was angry. And that same anger there is a kind of a word that it says God is angry about when people are deceived and caught in sin. That same type of anger. And Paul was angry. He was frustrated, you know. And it says in Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says there's a time for everything. There's a time to get angry. There's a time to get angry. And this is what Paul did. He was upset. He was upset about what he had seen. He saw that, you know what, even though this was a great city and was built incredibly, and I mean the architecture was wonderful, yet you know what, the people are lost. They're lost. They're totally lost. And so he got angry. His moral conscience was offended because of the idol worship that he saw. And it didn't matter to him that the Parthenon was awesome. It didn't matter to him that they had the statues of Zeus. All that stuff didn't matter. What mattered to him was that when people were lost. People were lost. And so that's really the first point that I have to make today, is that, you know what? Every believer should be grieved over the things that we see in this world. Every believer. We should all be grieved. There should be things that bug us about what we witness in this world. You know, I mean, I can talk to different ones of you, and I know because I have. I've talked to different ones of you about things that bug you, things that bother you, either things you've walked through personally or things that you see in the world or things that have really caused you to just run to Christ. You know, and there should be things that do bother us and should cause us to actually respond and do something. They should cause us to go out and do something about it. And this is what Paul did. What he saw these idols. And so he decided what he was going to do. He was going to go and he was going to first talk to the people that one he related with, because God was already at work. He saw God working. God was working in the church or the Jews that were there. There wasn't a church there yet. Paul was the first Christian that was there. But he knew that God was already at work. And so he began to talk to the Jews. He talked to the God-fearing Greeks. He talked to anybody on the street. Anybody who would listen to him. It says he was just out there, he was just talking because you know what? It bugged him. It bugged him. You know, and even as things bug us about life. You know, and what we try to do then, we try to talk to people to change their mind, to help them to see maybe what they're not seeing before. There was a guy named William Booth. You ever hear of him? He was the guy that started the Salvation Army. They call him General William Booth, all right? You know, back in the 1800s, what he saw a bunch of child labor in England. Not only that, but he also saw the poor and the needy. Nothing was going on with them. And so what he did, he started an army of people, and he began to change the culture, and he began to go to Parliament and share the things that he was seeing to where he began to change the whole culture because it bugged him so much. A guy named William Wilberforce, back in the 1700s and 1800s, right around that time, he saw slavery in England and he hated it. He hated what it was because he was convicted by just the atrocities and the wrongness of everything that he was witnessing. And so he also went to Parliament and he began to change people's mind over something that it didn't bother them at all because they were just kind of living in it. And even though they might not have been part of it, yet they weren't part of any type of solution. And so, but Wilberforce, he began to change that whole country's mind. And he did about slavery to where they stopped slavery over in England before we did here in the United States. You know, but there should be things that actually make us upset, that anger us. And so I'm just curious, what are some of the things that you see when you look at this world? Because what you look for, how you're looking at this world, determines what you see. And what you see determines what you feel, and what you feel determines what you do. There are some things that ought to make us angry. We should be angry about abortion. Still, all right? Because you know what? It still happens. We should be angry about the celebration of homosexuality, just blatant at times in our streets. We should be upset, you know, about the rampant divorce rate in our world. I mean, or deadbeat dads, broken homes, child abuse, spousal abuse, racial prejudice, moral apostasy by so-called Christian leaders, dishonesty in high places, the brutal treatment of the poor and the homeless. You know, we should be upset. Some of these things should make us upset. I know with some of us are upset about how men treat women, you know. Some of us are upset about that when people don't call sin, sin. And we don't deal with it. What are the things that all of a sudden when you see, you know, God, that just frustrates me. Just frustrates me. You know, I know there's been times in all of our lives where all of a sudden things just get us and we just go, ah, I hate that. I hate that that's going on. I hate that that's going on. You know? But there should be something that kind of stirs. This is what happened with Paul. He was stirred to the point where he did something. A friend of mine named Joel Roberts, he actually was so frustrated about homelessness in the city of L.A. that he started something. He started an organization called PATH. And what they do now, they receive money from the government to where they don't help homelessness, but what they do, they help homeless people get off the streets and they get the churches involved and the cities involved. You know, but he so frustrated, he did something about it. He was just passionate. You know, and the ability to get angry about the right things at the right time in the right way is a sign of good health. It really is. And Paul didn't lose his temper, but on the other hand, he didn't turn away and said, oh, these guys are all sold into idols. You know, I'm just going to go to someplace else and preach where it seems like it's a lot nicer and a lot easier. No, he didn't. But yet he was upset enough to where he started to do something, and he determined to do something about it. And so he did. Second point, every day is an adventure for us. Every day is an adventure for a believer. Paul saw that and he went out and started doing something. Every day is an adventure. Each day is an adventure for us to see what is God doing? How is he working? As believers in this world, stuff happens when we're out in it. All right? Stuff doesn't happen when you're sitting at home in front of your computer. Sometimes it does. Right? You know, and sometimes you have interaction with people, you know, on chat places or whatever. But most of the stuff happens to us when we're out in the world. Because this world is an adventure. It's an adventure that we are all on. We're all on. See, the enemy of our souls would like us to isolate from the world. He wants us to stay inside. He wants us to kind of be safe inside our homes and to think it's evil out there. Don't go out there. It's really bad. You know, and this is what happens. I mean, I live in a community where people build fences all the way out to the very end of their property, right also actually to the sidewalk. And then they go inside their house and they shut the door, shut the garage, and you can't even see what's going on inside there. Because they're trying to, and it's like the enemy of our souls wants to isolate us from contact with other human beings. Because he wants to keep us away. He doesn't want us to go out there and have an adventure. We look at Paul's life and look at the lives of the apostles and other Christians. They're out in the world. That's how they see stuff that bugs them. That's how, when they're out there in the world, that's how they see stuff. They say, I can help here. I can begin to touch. I can begin to influence. I can begin to do things that will help change the mindset of other people. Even if it's in a small way. Even if it's in a small way. My week, all right? Here we go, my week. This is because because we said we're going to go on a God search, and so that's what he did. I started saying, God, show up. I know you're here. Help me see where you're at. So on Sunday, I went to church, and while I was there, the pastor was talking about, you know, the whole idea of fasting to draw closer to God. And I thought, okay, I haven't done that in a while. It's not something I really like to do. But you know what? I want to draw close to God. So I said, okay, I'm going to go on a fast. I'm going to go on a partial fast. You know, so that's what I'm on right now. I'm on a fast. And I'm saying, okay, God, I want to, because I want to draw close to you, because I want to see what you're doing. I want to know you more. So Lord, if that's maybe a way to do it, and it is, you see in Scripture that that's what people did. I said, I want to do that. I want to do that. So I did that. I picked up Tammy that night and brought her out in the backyard, showed her the brickwork that I had done. She was all happy. She was all excited. I got big kudos, you know. Everybody's come over to the house this last week. You know, she took them out in the backyard and shown them. You know, this is what my husband did for my birthday. You know, so I was all excited. You know, and so that was good. And Monday I finished it, and she was just totally, totally happy. Tuesday, I said, God, what are you going to do today? What are you going to do today? So Tuesday, a friend emailed me from Hawaii, a guy who used to be in one of my small groups. And he's over there right now. He's starting a small men's Bible study. And so he said, Jim, he says, one thing I didn't really get from you, he says, I totally need. He says, would you please mentor me in just mentoring men? He says, would you do that? I just want to contact you every week and talk to you and just say, what maybe might be a next step for these guys? And I said, I'd love to be a part of that process, Tim. Thank you just for inviting me in. You know, and so I said, thank you. And I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for opening that door. Because I see, God, you're at work. You're doing something. And so I just need to be aware of it and then need to remember that. All right? My daughter then called me up later on that evening. I mean, and she said, Dad, you know, I'm just having a real issue with one of my bosses at work. And so I said, honey, would you let me pray for you? It's not that I haven't prayed for her in the past, but it's probably been over a year since I prayed with my daughter. She said, yeah, Dad, I'd love you to pray with me. And so I prayed with her and prayed for her boss, prayed for those things. She says, thank you. All right? I thought, God, you were at work there. Because Lord, he's always trying to help us, work in us, and help us with the people and the situations that are around us to move them a little bit closer, people a little bit closer to God. All right? Because every day's an adventure. Wednesday, I didn't have much work, and I haven't had much work in the last month. And so I thought, you know what? I'll go surfing. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go surfing. And so I did. I haven't gone surfing for about 4 months. And so I had a nice new wetsuit, and I went down to the beach. The waves were about 3 to 4 foot with some 6 foot set. So I went out in the water, and all the way down there, just saying, God, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I don't know what you can do in the water. But I knew that when I was out in the water, I prayed a lot. Oh, God, I'm afraid. I'm going to die. I'm just going to die out here. I know I'm going to die, you know, because I start taking off in these waves. I go, oh, no, I don't think of that. I don't think so. Not in this one, you know. So I was out there for about, 45 minutes, you know, and I caught one wave, and I finally came in and said, okay, whew, I did that. Made it happen. But that was the exciting part. The exciting part was when I came in, I parked my car, I was getting undressed, you know, and putting on my clothes, and these girls pulled up next to me. These girls get out, and they start talking to me. They say, you know what? Could you help us with the meter thing? Because we're just not sure how that all works. They say, well, where are you from? Oh, well, we're from Turkey. I said, really? You're from Turkey? I said, I was just there. I was just in Istanbul in December. You were? Oh, how fun. You're kidding. Well, my daughter lives in Istanbul. Really? Well, what does she do? Oh, she's a flight attendant for Turkish Airlines. My wife's a flight attendant for Delta Airlines. You're kidding? Oh, there is. Really? Oh, how fun. So how long you been? Oh, this is our first day here. We've never been to the United States before. Oh, you're kidding. Where are you going? Going down to San Diego. Could I pray for you as you're driving down to San Diego? We would love you to pray for us. And I thought, God, is it this easy? Could it be this easy? When I'm looking for you to work, could it be this easy? When we start making ourselves available, can it be this easy? On my way home, I called my friend who lives in Denver, and I was just talking to him a little bit. And I said, you know, yeah, I haven't been working very much. He said, Jim, why don't you fly out here on Sunday and work for me for 2 days, and I'll pay you. Really? Because of just my situation, it doesn't cost me anything to fly there. I can go there for free, you know. His son-in-law's in construction, so I can get all the tools from him. I just and he says, yeah, work for me for 2 days. So I'm going there on Sunday afternoon, coming back Wednesday. You know, God is just at work. Now, was every day like that? I wish I could say every day was like that. That Wednesday night then, I went and I had a counseling appointment with a couple, young couple, who want to get married and want me to perform their ceremony. Loved to. Talked about things. I said, hey, I'm a Christian, you know, and I'm a pastor. I worked, a lot of the stuff that I share is through Scripture. I said, and so I use God and I pray, you know, and I pray at times and with this Turkish, these two Turkish girls, man, we prayed right there in the parking lot, and they said amen, you know, and I don't know if they were Muslim or what, but they allowed me just to pray for them and just to encourage them and find common ground. And this couple that evening, as I was talking to them, you know, and I shared with them just where I was at and that I was going to pray, and that they said, well, we don't understand that because we've never had any type of religious experience at all. I said, perfect. I said, this is awesome. This is wonderful. Great. I said, can I just pray for you right now? They said, okay, what do we do? I said, just bow your heads and I'll just pray. So right in Starbucks, they bowed their heads and I prayed for them, you know, and we talked. And I just think, God, this works. When I'm looking for you to do stuff, you're there. You're there. Now, Thursday, I was preparing this message, and so I was in my house and I was getting all this stuff together, and I was all excited, and all of a sudden, knock on the door, my dogs are going crazy. I go, stinking interruptions again. What's going on with these people? What's wrong with them, you know? So I go, and it's another Tongan guy who has actually done work for me before, and he was there, and he was wanting work too, and I said, I don't have any work myself, you know? But, and so we talked a little bit. He left finally got rid of him. But the thing that I realized that after that is that there was a perfect opportunity just to pray with somebody else. But because I was in the interruption mode, you know, I told you how I deal with interruptions last week, right? That I didn't quite get it. Didn't quite get it. All right. Every day is an adventure, though. Isn't that exciting? See, that stuff's exciting. Because all of a sudden, that's the type of lifestyle that Jesus said he wants us to have, right? He says, I have come to give you life and that. Yeah, he didn't say, you know, less and less and less to where each day you'd get a little bit less. But no, he says, I have come that you might have life and that more abundantly. Second thing, every believer is a missionary. Every believer is a missionary. Paul took his stand in the open space of the Areopagus and laid it out for them. He says, it's plain to see that you Athenians take your religion seriously. When I arrived the other day, I was fascinated at all the shrines I came across, and I found one inscribed to the God nobody knows. I'm here to introduce this God to you so you can worship him intelligently and know who you're dealing with. See, I believe that when every one of us is a missionary, and Paul saw that as his purpose in life. Now, we're all missionaries disguised as pilots, construction workers, guitar teachers, moms, business owners, students, teachers, all right? eBay workers, right? We are all missionaries disguised as something. But that's what we all are. And I found this week, just God, when I was open to it, realizing he's at work, he is at work and that I could use every situation as an opportunity, be it in finding common ground with people in construction, finding common ground with people in where I have been and when God brings them into my life. How random is that, that somebody pulls up next to me when I'm getting undressed, you know, putting on my clothes, and they drive up and they're from Turkey, and that was the very last place I went with Tammy. How random is that? Oh, what a coincidence. You know? Coincidences are just situations where God remains anonymous that he's working in, right? God is at work, and if we would be open and say, God, what are you doing? Help me to see it. And then when it comes in my face, help me to respond. Because I'm a missionary. All of us are. We're all missionaries in this world. Every encounter is an opportunity to see God work. Every encounter. Every encounter is an opportunity to see God work. You know, be it from my daughter calling me up and being able to pray for her, which I hadn't done, like I said, I'm not proud of it, but it's reality. I just hadn't, because I just didn't think about it. You know, to the girls that I met, praying with them, to Kelly Koski in Denver and seeing, having him ask me, just, Jim, come out here and work for a couple of days. It's like watching God do this stuff. And I mean, I'm just there sitting and just saying, it's happening. And I'm either going to be a part of it or I'm going to watch it go by. Every one of us. You know, and Paul did the same thing, man. He saw it happening. He did something about it. He got involved in it. Everywhere he went, he got involved in it. You know, and he changed the world. But every encounter that we have is an opportunity to see God work. And Paul did see God work, all right? Even though he shared with the people that were there, and a lot of them said, yeah, we're not going to listen to this. Or come back later on, you know, we'll listen to you at another time. Yet it says there were some people who heard him that said, and became believers. They followed. You know, to where there was a church that was started right there in Athens at that point. God did something because he saw every encounter as an opportunity, God, for you to work, be it to share, be it to pray, be it to encourage, be it to bless. And somehow, some way, God, you want to do something in every encounter. The last thing, Every evening is a chance to assess what God has done this day. The New Living Translation says this: it's good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning and your faithfulness every evening. I'm encouraging you guys. This is what I did all this week. This week, every evening, I would go home and I would write down in my little journal, all right? God, what are you doing today? What did you do? What did you do? You know why? Because 2 months from now, I'm going to look back and say, oh, I remember. Oh, look what God did. Oh, do you remember? Oh. And in that, I'm praying prayers. And in that, I'm also writing down scriptures that God has given me that day. In that, I'm also just putting the things that I didn't do that I probably could have done, that where God, there was an open door and I didn't walk through it. So I'm also writing those things down just so I can be aware, so I can say, ah, missed an opportunity. That could have been an opportunity. Because every evening I'm just sitting down, and even as we do on Sabbath, which Sabbath is supposed to be, for us is an opportunity to go back and say, what has God done this week? How has God moved? What has God shown me about my life and about the lives of people around me? How can I celebrate the goodness of God this week? It's my Sabbath is. That's what our Sabbath is. So I want to encourage you. All right? Next week. This next week. What is God doing here? We're on a God search. Searching for God. Searching to see what is God doing. What's He saying? How's He moving? All right? Would you, this week, write these things down. Bring them next week. Share them with us. I mean, my question would be, in me sharing what God has done in my life this week, did that encourage you? You know, did that help you? You know, because I know, even talking to Sean and even driving up here, and even with Dexter, it's like God was working this week, but oftentimes it's just like part of life. And we don't, and even though we can say, yes, God did something, yet it's not like, gosh, I need to write that down to remind myself later on, because one, I don't have memory, right? We've talked about that. You know, my memory is shot, gone. So I need to write things down so that I will remember the good things God has done. All right? God is at work around us. So let's respond to it and be involved as much as we can. All right? Father, we thank you. Thank you for working, God. Thank you that, Lord, there's stuff happening, and Father, I pray you would begin to even move in our hearts and move in our spirits and move in our lives in ways that, Lord, we've not yet experienced. Open our eyes to see what you're doing. Help us to experience you in even a deeper ways. Lord, even if it's just the simple things, help us to journal, write down, to remind ourselves that, God, you are at work all the time. We love you and thank you, God, that you invite us to be part of what you're doing. In Jesus' name.